Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Summer League isn't quite over yet, but we've seen enough. We can make some judgments as long as they fit our narratives. We're going to run through some of the biggest takeaways from Summer League, have a little draft at the end. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined, as always, by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Never been better, baby. Never been better. I'm doing fantastic. Got Summer League on. I think when I got back from Vegas, shout out, first of all, to everyone in Vegas that came up and said hi. I was there not long enough, it feels like.
Yeah,
we were leaving and Corey turned to me last night and I was like, you good? And he's like, I feel like I wasn't even here. And I was like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So
and I was a lot of so business. Ready to be home all at the same time.
Yeah, like I got home, probably had the deepest sleep of my life and woke up in the middle of the night like, where am I? And then I was like, man, I kind of also wish I was there for like another couple of days. But Vegas was probably an all-timer. Very, very good trip. I'm very excited for the future and I'm excited to be talking basketball with you again.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always really humbling when you know, people come up and they're like, love what you guys do. It means the world. Promise, I'm not trying to be like, oh, look how cool we are. It's just, it's honestly really humbling and means the world to us. So really appreciate everyone there. And we got to see a lot of really good basketball and these... I really appreciate these rookies showing up, especially these top four guys showing up right away. Because man, we've been hyping these guys up for a long time. And if they all came out and put up duds, would have been a tough look. But they all showed out in a big way. And it was a really, really fun weekend.
I mean, we're just getting after it right away. This is fantastic. Yeah, we're just so excited. Okay. So let's just dive right in. I was trying to think the other day, I don't remember, you can maybe help me. Well, it's a previous draft where just like all the top four look great in Summer League. Because we always have like the Scoot year, he got hurt.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good early, then got hurt. I feel like we always have Cade's year, he got hurt. He didn't play Summer League, I believe. We always have a surprise injury.
Wemby was bad in his first game.
Wemby was atrocious. And I remember leaving.
Young was bad in his first game.
Yep. The Wemby first night was so annoying because I would open social media. I was in Vegas. I think I always usually don't go to the first date because it's just always zoo city. And I'm like, I like Friday better. But I remember social media after the Wemby game was like, and I was like, nah, I'm going to stay off Twitter for the night. This is ridiculous. He's going to be fine. Cooper Flagg was okay his first game.
Yeah, his first game, he kind of struggled, but then was incredible in the second game. So it's like, I was kind of anticipating that. I figured the guys would end up putting up good numbers, but you know, inefficient turnovers, all that kind of stuff. And you know, Darren Peterson obviously struggled with turnovers and fouls in his first game, but I thought the way that he processed and adapted and adjusted throughout and ended up finishing with a really good scoring game, I thought that was super impressive. But like AJ was dominant and versatile as a scorer. Cam Boozer every single game has been putting up. He's a walking double-double, and he looks so comfortable out there. Caleb Wilson is a little inefficient at times, but it's highlight play after highlight play and effort play after effort play and putting up monster numbers, where and he made as many threes in his opening Summer League game as he did in the entirety of his UNC career. That's insane. And it was like pull-up, step-back, off-movement, off-the-catch type stuff. He wasn't just standing in the corner. So I was like, oh, Caleb, where was that? That would have been fun to see all year. But the fact that all of these guys showed up in a big way and didn't just put up numbers, but looked like they belonged. Let me rephrase. They didn't just put up numbers. They looked like they were too good to be out there. And for rookies to basically be looking like that right off the bat is pretty shocking.
Yeah, we're going to go a little bit all over because I have thoughts that are just like running around, but one of the biggest
things. Yeah, not the most organized stuff.
Yeah, not most organized because it's everything kind of connects. The top four looking this good right away was not like surprising, but also just a breath of fresh air of after we watched them all year. It's like, yep, okay, this is everything we were thinking. Like I thought
Caleb crazy wasn't overhyping.
Yeah, right. I thought Caleb was going to look insane because I was just like, that's been a caged animal since he got hurt, and he was just going to be let wild. And I was like, he's probably just foaming at the mouth. And was I expecting him to do it all from downtown? No, like the shot was that impressive, but he just looks so comfortable. Boozer looks better than the numbers probably even say. And Darren hasn't had the best like shooting numbers in Vegas, but like watching him, I'm like, I'm not worried at all. AJ, I don't care about the percentages right now. I just don't really care too much about the percentages in Vegas shooting wise. I care more about the
decision. You never should. It's summer league. I care more about the process, how they handle physicality, how they're adjusting and adapting to how they're being defended. And it's like, all right, well, you're in a lot of the cases now, you're facing pros. You're facing grown men. I know college is kind of trending more that way, but now we actually have it where it's like, all right, everyone. Pretty much everyone that you're playing against is older than you and has more NBA experience and have already adjusted and adapted to NBA level physicality and speed and schematics and all that kind of stuff. How are you going to adjust? How are you going to fit in? Are you going to look like you need some time? Are you going to look like you fit in, or are you going to look like you should be shut down after a game or two? And I think that latter group is how all four of these guys have looked, and yet we're still seeing guys like Cam Boozer continue to play.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's been awesome. I mean, it's not even just the top four, Metcalf. It's, you know, last year everyone was talking about like this 25 class, 2025 NBA draft class is unbelievable. And, you know, we saw guys, Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper didn't look great at Summer League. He was like struggling to get going. VJ had his moments. Yeah, offensively, 100%. VJ looked fantastic. Going back to Salt Lake City, like he looked fantastic. I remember that Khan looked good. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there was a lot of guys too that were also just like raw. And I think the coolest part of this year's summer league, there's so many sophomores that look like that leap is coming. Kamon Malawak, one of the names that I was going to bring up later, but like just seeing the path and look, I think we need to stress to fans like how important this is. I'm never expecting a guy in the second summer league to look like, oh, he's ready, he's good now. No, it's what are you still on that path, and how much of a step have you taken? And Malawak, he's got time, but like the path he's on and the leap he's took in 1 year gets you so excited. If you're a Phoenix Suns fan, do I still think there's a lot of work to be done? Absolutely, but watching his games and you're seeing like defensive awareness, the rotations, the timing's a little bit quicker, his fluidity on the court, him even outside pulling from deep. You know, some fans might be like, why is he shooting so much? It's like, you want, this is summer league, do that stuff. Like try it out, figure it out. He's on such a big path for like taking a step forward. I know last year I was lower on him as a prospect, but I was like, I'm lower on him as a top five guy. Because I think that comes with way too unrealistic expectations early on. When he landed with Phoenix at 10, I was like, awesome. Great spot. But there's a lot of those sophomores who look like they're taking a really nice step forward. And we're going to have back-to-back years, I think, of really big-time draft classes. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I want to stick with Malawak. And we can pivot into Pete after that. But like while we're here, because like I thought Malawak has been one of the most impressive players at Summer League. And obviously we're all of this is being caveated with, yes, we know it's Summer League, but it's important to see how these guys are fitting in, what they're working on, how they're being used, and how they're adjusting to all of that. And I don't think anyone in this Summer League is shown as much growth as Kaman Malawach has. The way that he is experimenting with stuff on offense is awesome. The frequency in which he was letting it fly from outside, it's like, all right, man, like, are you ever really gonna do that, or are you just being like, hey, I'm at Summer League, screw it? But then, like, you watch him shoot and the mechanics and the touch on it, it's like, oh, this feels very, very real. Is he going to be Karl Anthony Towns from outside? Probably not. But is he going to be, like, actually serviceable and reliable and pick and pop kind of situations? And I think so. I think the strides that we've seen him take in just the last 2 years with that outside shot, I think it looks good from outside. And the volume and the opportunity for him to take those in the setting, I think speaks volumes to the organization's belief that he can grow into that. But I loved his first game, because he had zero leash. Like, he was out there doing whatever he wanted. He was letting it fly from outside. I think he had zero assists to seven turnovers, which is just an incredible ratio. But, like, you could see with him, like, oh man, the handle's rough. It's sloppy. Like, there's still going to be zero shot creation from you, but you don't need to, because at that size, he's a dominant rim runner. Like, you throw him a lob, he's going to go get it. He did a really good job of, like, carving out space for our offensive rebounds out of the roll. But after that first game, they really focused on having him around the rim a little more, while still having enough pick and pop situations to play with that. And I thought they really struck a much better balance with him being more disciplined with his ball security, but then also showcasing that very, very real and translatable role versatility, whether it's rim running, crashing the glass for offensive rebounds, or legitimately picking and popping. And if he can continue to take that offensive skill set into this season, he's going to be a monster and really, really difficult to defend, because he's a monster on the boards. The defensive stuff has taken a big leap. Still a lot of work to do there, but it's definitely, definitely improved. And I was floored with how good he's looked.
Yeah, I think he's looked tremendous. And my biggest concern with raw bigs always, and raw prospects general, is I always get fear of, like, overdrafting, because then you start saying, like, hey, this is a franchise savior. We're going to play him right out of the gate. And that can get ugly fast when you all of a sudden a team drafts him and it's like, man, this one's more of a project than we were expecting. And when Malawach went to the Suns, I'm not like, go back and I said, this is a great landing spot. This is perfect, because you can stress patience. And my biggest fear with, and not just him, but like any big in this sort of archetype, was in 1 year, you're going to try to force feed him, instead of just being like, let's slowly add to this. Let's slowly find. And sometimes I think those bigs, like, oh, I had this full year, I'm going to show everyone what I could do now in the post. I'm going to show them, like, I got. You could see Phoenix has done such a great job of being like, let's make this simple to start stacking together some confidence and really unlock your development, because that's what all these players need. You need confidence. You put it perfectly, Metcalf. He is a weapon as a rim runner. We knew that at Duke, but I feel like at Duke, I never saw it at enough. And that's system, that's context. But like in Summer League, I'm watching him like just hauling. Hauling butt in transition to get like in front of his man. He's catching lobs every single place ever. The catch radius is awesome. But that goes to Malawach of like, hey, conditioning. I can beat guys up the court. The interior game is still a big work in progress, but that's okay. That's fine.
He showed some like funky good touch. Like it looked unorthodox. It didn't look comfortable. It didn't look like, oh, what? It kind of looked like the gangly sixth grader who had a growth spurt before everyone else did and didn't know what to do with his limbs. But it worked. And it was like, oh, yes, man, like, I think the touch here is very real.
Absolutely. It's just he's going to, but that's what I'm trying to say is like, just get the basics down now. Now he's finding ways where he's like, now I can do this. I can make an impact here. And he's being a beast on the boards, which was my biggest critique of him at Duke, was I was like, can you just be a monster rebounding and we'll be good?
Yeah.
And now it's coming along. So just lean on that this year. And then the next year, start adding a little bit more to like, hey, let's get you a go-to baby hook to add with the three-point ball. Then all of a sudden we get to a scary world where it's like every path is coming together. And that's why I was like, watching multiple games, if you're a Suns fan, you should be ecstatic because it's a really high ceiling. And I get terrified when teams rush it too fast because you never let the flower blossom. You try to just cut it and be like, oh, it's good. Just be patient. Just slowly get, and you know, there's going to be Suns fans be like, should we start him right away? Slowly add a little bit more, but he's looked great.
He might be starting by January.
They might not have a choice because Mark Williams' injury history has not ever been something that I can roll the dice on. Fake laugh, hiding real pain.
Knock on wood. I want to talk about Koa Pete because both you and I were skeptical.
Do you think Suns fans make it through this first like hour? They're gonna be like, this is incredible. Go ahead.
we got him back.
I'll find you. Go ahead.
So I was low on Pete this year. I love the highs. He had some of the best highs of anyone in this class. I referenced that Iowa State game where he had 2 points as one of my favorite games out of any prospect because of the little things that he was doing on both ends of the floor. But my struggle was with how infrequently he was doing those little things and committing to that style of play. And I never really cared about the shot because it's like, whatever, we'll get there in time. I don't care about it. And it was more so just that consistency. And that gave me hesitation about, all right, who does he want to be and who does he think he is as a player? I've loved his tape in Summer League. I thought he's looked really good. I thought he got out of his head about having to shoot it. The mid-range jumper, it looks like the mechanics have gone back to more what they were at Arizona. So hopefully Phoenix was like, hey, everything you just did for the last 3 months, scrap it. I hate it. Burn it. Never bring it back. Because like the mid-range jumper had a little higher release. I don't care about the shot at Summer League. What I cared about was how aggressive he was playing, how decisive he was playing. A lot of the passing reads that he was making out of drives, his grab and go ability off of defensive rebounds, and then how he was scoring and creating for others in transition, how he was defending more consistently, not perfect, but more consistently at a higher level, kind of like what we saw in that Iowa State game. And the fact that he's strung together 2, 3, 4 of these types of games where it hasn't always been perfect. And some of the numbers have looked really good. But I care more about the process and the style that he's out there playing with. And it's like, oh man, we now have a almost 2 week stretch or week and a half stretch of him consistently doing all of those little things on both ends of the floor. I'm not saying he's getting minutes as a rookie. He probably won't be because there are a lot of those kind of guys on that roster already. But if he continues to lean into playing like this, being aggressive, being decisive, and using his IQ and his passing capabilities on both ends of the floor, then it's like, this is the type of player that I desperately hoped you would become, and one that looks like he could be an absolute steal for where they got him.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, the pre-draft shot, there was videos like kind of leaking it at Summer League of like, oh, here's what the shot mechanics were. And I feel like it's funny seeing those comments and people being like, well, it's not that bad. I'm like, yeah, this one looks 15 times better than what we all saw at the combine.
Yeah.
And 15 might be an understatement. So I'm with you. I think the team drafted him and someone put him against the wall. I'm kidding. But someone was like, don't ever do what you did again. Go back to playing the way you feel the best and we'll figure it out down the road. I don't even think he needs to.
No, I don't care about the shot.
I don't care about the shot. I never did. No. I cared about what's the second skill. What? Here's the thing.
I've said it all year. Just maximize your passing, your rim pressure, your rebounding, and your defense. You do that at your size, with his physicality, with his athleticism, he's going to be a 10 to 15 year pro.
That was my biggest thing ever, is I was just saying like, what are you? You have to figure out what you are at the next level. Now someone could just be like, well, he's a good player. Fine. But here's my counter. And maybe I'm a little you know, fuzzy right now because I'm watching a lot of like off season. I'm watching a lot of like old school 90s and 2000s basketball. And I'm just, honestly, I was watching Magic Johnson the other night and I was like, can you imagine this guy with NBA spacing right now? But so I was just like, hey, they're going to play off you. Fine. That's fine. Teams will be comfortable with that. But you have to figure out like, okay, they can play me and me not be a shooter because of this. And if it's the playmaking, if it's the defense, I've forever said, like, if Kobe Pete bought into being a nasty, I hate this, Boris Diaw-ish.
Go like, be Kyle Anderson.
Keep Kyle Anderson and be a bodybuilding version of Kyle Anderson. He'll play for 10 plus years. Easy. Yeah. So like I'm pumped to see Kobe Pete looking comfortable at Summer League. I'm pumped about it. I just think he's got to figure out, all right, what would get me, keep me on the court crunch time? Why does a team like, because look, I remember the Celtics with Rondo. They would play him like standing at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at a point where it's like, you can't do that because he's a playmaker. He could just read the whole court. So it's like, you're making it easy for him to just like, I'll pick people apart. Pete has to find out what's his advantage. So you can't do that. And I think he's got too much talent and upside to not make it. But it's been really cool to see someone like that who had just a nightmare pre-draft in terms of just like the buzz and attention end up with the Suns and so quickly look like he's just like, finally, I get to hoop again.
Yeah.
And he looks great. He's like awesome.
What else do you want to bounce to?
Anything, everything. Now I'm, this is great. Anyone you've been pleasantly surprised about, sophomores, rookies?
Cedric Howard, you don't need to be playing anymore. Please. Like
Mavs fans were really pumped to tell me he's not too good for Summer League. And I was like, have you watched any of the other games or just the one?
Okay. With your team? I mean,
he hit 23 tonight.
Yes, I believe so. I was trying to pull it up. Probably help if I pulled up the correct box score. But yeah, 23 on 7 of 12 shooting, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 turnover, 1 steal. Plus,
here's the thing. We've talked about this in previous episodes, but here's the big thing with Summer League is you have to understand also some of these teams do a very good job with Summer League of getting you prepped for the season.
Yeah.
So they're going to put you in a role that's going to be ugly and fans freak out because they're like, he can't. And it's like, well,
I think the perfect juxtaposition here is look at Cedric Howard with the Grizzlies, look at Carter Bryant with the Spurs.
Hugo Gonzalez with the Celtics.
Sure.
They're playing him in a lot of on ball stuff too. They're doing what Cedric Howard is.
That's what the Spurs did with Carter Bryant, and it didn't look good. It looked pretty awful. Does that change my perception of Carter Bryant at all? No, because the guy was just playing in the finals. So that tells me a little more about who he is as a player. But this is the type of scenario where you can experiment with that kind of stuff, where you can see what is there under the hood of like, all right, how much more upside is there? Are there different avenues that this development route can go down? And just because Carter Bryant wasn't good on ball so far, I'm not saying he'll never get there. He's sophomore age. So like, okay, Cedric Howard's a little older than him. He's a little further along in his developmental route. And Cedric Howard was also getting a lot of these kind of reps in the regular season. And now in Summer League, they're emphasizing it even more. And it looks so much better. I've been just floored with how comfortable and dominant he's looked out there.
Numbers won't tell you this, but I thought his development, Salt Lake City, I was like, oh my gosh, he looks awesome.
Yeah.
And it's more because it's the processing. Like I'm seeing him make reads as a primary decision maker. And it's just the processing speed and the reads and like how he's delivered passes. It wasn't getting assists a bunch, but I was like, it's live dribble, left-handed whip passes to the corners where guys pass up threes. And I'm like, what are you doing? Put it up. And the fact that Cedric's reading that, you can see there's a clear emphasis for the Grizzlies of like, we know you're going to be able to score off the ball. We know we're going to be able to get you buckets, et cetera. We also want a wrinkle of you running the offense for you're doing, hey, we're going to run a 2-man pick and roll with you, mm-hmm. Cam Boozer. Awesome. and we're gonna have Edie as another I am telling you, Metcalf, I felt it his rookie year in the middle of the year watching and catching up on his stuff. I was like, this is gonna be a superstar. He is gonna be a bad man. I don't care about his age. I'm just seeing the tools, the two-way tool. Like, we're gonna be talking about Cedric Howard when you're in the playoffs and be like, this dude's a monster. And I think that's another team that's just doing it the right way. We just talked about the Suns of Malawatch. I think the Grizzlies looked at Coward and said, we know you're going to be able to score. Now we're going to turn you into a little bit more of a beast. We're going to make you a decision maker because it also helps you as a scorer read the floor.
Yeah.
So I think he's looked great. I know he had the one bad game, but like, also I'm with you. Like, sit him down.
Yeah.
Miami Heat sent Ryan Conwell home. Is that the best thing ever? I want teams to start doing that. You're so just go home.
How pumped do you think he was? Like, oh, I have to go to Miami now? Shucks.
Oh, bummer. Thanks a lot. But I think Coward's look great. I really do.
And kind of along those same lines in terms of returners, I've really loved how Jaeger Drillman has looked.
Oh gosh, he looks great.
The shooting efficiency hasn't always been there. I think it's today or yesterday he was like 0 of 50 or 2 for 15 or something from three.
Gosh, has it really been that bad? It's the
same. Sorry, 5 of 16 from three, 8 of 20 overall against the Rockets today. But I don't care. I love the 16 attempts because that tells me that speaks more to the confidence. And when you watch him live, when you watch the film, it's like, oh, there's a lot more variety of shots and difficulty level that he's taking that he wasn't even thinking about at BYU. Like, that was one of our biggest issues where it's like, man, like, let some of this stuff fly. Now he's taking like DHO movement stuff, like step backs. It's like, I have been really, really impressed with him and just the effortless fit between like him and Mikal out there, and with how many ball handlers and versatile decision makers that they continue to put out there, I think they're going to have a very, very sneaky fun team. Are they going to be good next year? Probably not. Is the insertion of Julius Randle, who's a notable ball stopper, going to clog things up at times? Probably. Hopefully it doesn't derail some of these guys' development, but I think there's so many of these guys, whether it's Yegor, Danny Wolf, Michael Brown, where it's like, oh man, these guys are so versatile, both on and off ball, quick decision makers, can handle, can attack downhill, can pull up off the bounce. It hasn't always been the prettiest result, but I've really enjoyed the process of the Nets so far.
Yeah, I think Yegor looks great. I'm with you kind of. It's more just been the different processing on the court. Going back to California Classic, I was just like, oh gosh, now he's figuring out how to get downhill. This is the same thing with Malwash. Like, now you're stacking together developments. And the fact that he's figuring it out, he's selling guys with pump fakes to get downhill, which like before it was just like you said at BYU, it was just like, just shoot. And remember last year, everyone was kind of dogging on him. And I got your back, next fans. Everyone was like, well, yeah, but he hasn't attempted a two-pointer forever. He can't.
I was like, he's playing great physical.
Give me a break. We just had a year of complaining about him. Like, whatever. So now he's getting downhill. And that's why it's like, it's why we gotta see the bigger picture here. And I think it looks great.
It's like getting downhill with physicality and initiating contact and getting
going at people.
Chest. It's not just like, oh, yep, I'm fast, so let me get downhill. There have been other guys who are doing that, but it's controlled, it's strength based, it's physical, and it's like, oh, there's a shift in mindset here too, which is really rare.
He had a beautiful sequence. I think is it against the Kings? It's just like a shot fake downhill, went into someone's body at the rim, and then shielded the ball. I was like, man, Jaeger, you didn't do that at all. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think the other day, I'm having a brain fart because the other day I saw a good discussion. I was like, what's the upside there? Like, what player do you think he could turn into? And I'm forgetting, but I saw one name and I was like, that's a good one. And I don't know. What do you have any ideas like off the top of your head?
Oh.
I'm trying to, because I don't think he's going to be just a one. I've always thought he's going to turn into a really nice 2-3 weapon.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be Franz, but kind of like, I'm like, hey, I don't like that pool, but the pool next door is very similar. And I like, so that's what I keep trying to get. Like, okay, he's just got a very fun path. If all of a sudden you're starting to figure out, okay, now we got a little in-between game developing.
Yeah.
And the playmaking is always going to be in the back where we're like, that playmaking is no joke. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to workshop that one. But yeah, he looks great.
Are there any other rookies or returners that you would be remiss if we didn't talk about that you think have done a really, really good job, that have really impressed you? I know we talked about Merez a ton after the opening day. We talked about Adrian, Darren there as well. Cam has been awesome. Caleb has been awesome. Bruce Thornton for the Rockets has been really good.
Really good. Really good. Yeah, I'm going to give a couple quick shouts just because I think the fan bases, we don't need to go in depth, but just the fan bases. And then I do have some rookies I wanted to shout out. Will Riley.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into depth, but like I expected Will Riley to look like this. And
yeah, because I think what's so encouraging is that he's looking like the guy that we saw in that last month, which that last month can be a lot of fool's gold, especially on tanking horrible teams. Cause it's like, all right, well, someone has to put up points and someone has to put up numbers, but how real is it? And with Will, it's like, okay, I think the process is good. And it was a really similar kind of thing to what we saw from him, his 1 year at Illinois, where it's like, oh, these last couple months of the season, you're being used differently. You're seeing the game differently. You're processing it at a different speed. And it feels like he's on a very similar kind of path there.
Yeah. I think you put it perfectly. It was kind of one of those, like, I hope that wasn't just a, yeah, you know, blinder, like, it's March and it's always a dangerous start of the year. And right away, I was like, okay, we're good.
Yep.
Liam McNeely.
Okay.
He's exactly what, wait, I forget. You spent the whole end of the 25 cycle trying to get me in on McNeely, or did you calm down at the end?
I think I bought back in at the end.
Okay. And I think I did a little
bit. Not to like an insane level, but like early 20s.
Yeah. Okay.
It was Albert and Corey, I believe, who were like all in.
Yeah. I mean, I was in on McNeely, got cold feet because that's just what I do apparently on guys that I actually like. I just at some point, especially with the stock game, I get cold feet. It's sellable. You know what McNeely looks like is the perfect, and I mean this in the best possible way, but the perfect, like, okay, someone on my team got all the attention and no one's really focusing. Like, I have the first full off season to work on my game, and he's figured out this is what I'm going to be to help this year. And I know Hornets fans are probably excited about like Steinmeck and Christian Anderson, go down that road some other day. I think McNeely is going to be the one everyone's going to be like, oh, I forgot about McNeely. They got McNeely, you know, other fan bases, because he just looks like he's going to be comfortable about being like, now you got another shooter. Now you got another weapon that could be a really legit catch and shoot guy. But I thought it was a very big summer league for him of just showing like, yep, this is why I was a big time recruit. This is why at UConn we were putting in preseason. Everyone was doing it. So don't say it. Preseason, he was a lottery pick.
Oh,
everyone thought he was going to be a lottery pick, top 10.
Yeah.
And
6'7", 6'8" shooter. Absolutely.
Delayed because he got hurt. And
then basically now if you have point down the stretch for UConn, it was a disaster.
So now all of a sudden, if Charlotte's getting another 6'7" shooter, getting a little interested for, oh, you're going to double con? Well, Brandon Miller and Liam McNeely are on the program. I just think it's been nice for him.
I can't believe we've lasted this long and not brought him up, but Brandon Burris. Oh, my goodness.
I was waiting for you to talk dirty.
He's been incredible.
Woo!
Where was this during the Final Four? Can't help myself. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's really, really great. I you know what? I should have seen that coming. I did it. It'd be like a trade. Yeah, where was this? He looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, needed a cigarette after watching all of his stuff. I was like, oh my gosh, Bucks fans, buckle up. He looks great. He looks composed. The playmaking's been solid. He just looks like he's making it simple.
Yeah.
Which is very loud for... yeah, I don't want to get too... It's just very loud when a rookie guard who hasn't played in a while jumps into Summer League and looks like they're not sped up. So he's off to a great start. I don't know what that roster is going to be, but dang, they look like they got one.
But like, I think he's one of these guards who can kind of fit with anyone, whether yep. it's next to Ryan Rollins or next to Tyler Hero or both of them. Like, I think there are some really fun guard rotations that they can throw out there. The rest of the lineup is a different discussion, but that's not what we're talking about right now. The playmaking, the physicality, the defense, the shooting, the shot creation, it's exactly what you would hope to see.
I'm gonna get just wild, crazy theory here, because I want to get Bucks fans a little excited, for like the three of you that are probably listening. I'm kidding.
Oof, easy.
No, I actually do have a lot of Bucks fans I like. So what if Rollins and Burries is just like, yeah, you found two guys already?
Yeah. Ryan Rollins was incredible last year.
So what if you just are like, hey, after this year, your rebuild, you could be like, we've got our backcourt.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big thing to like right away be like, oh, we got it.
Yeah.
And I know Nate's going to be growing pains this year. I'm expecting it. I think this time next year, we might be saying the same thing about Nate Amendt that we were just talking about with Malawach and stuff. Like, wow, look at the leap he took in one year. So. Like, he also might not be playing.
Well, there were a handful of guys this year that weren't playing that maybe should have been.
Maybe should have been. Couple. I just think Milwaukee, if this is legit, and I think this is just kind of what you saw at Arizona most of the year. This gets really interesting for the Bucks. Like, this, you got an island of misfit toys trying to figure out that roster, but like, Burries is a big time get if this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else you got?
Alan Graves. I haven't been able to dive into too much Raptors film, so I can't give specifics on it, but the numbers have been good. The little I have seen has looked really encouraging, and he just kind of keeps putting up big numbers. I think he had an awesome first game, fell off a cliff kind of in the second game, and then bounced back again since then. So
just look great.
Makes yep. a lot of sense. So just kind of doing
it's really, really good
to do. Anyone else that I'm like totally blanking on? We talked about Kingston on the last pod, so after the opening day, make sure to go check that out in case you missed it.
Snack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Talk to me.
Snack's going to be fun. I don't know about this year, but he's got 11 blocks. He had 18 last year.
That's more than he had like all of high school and college.
He had 18 at Houston. He has 11 blocks right now in four summer league games. I've had a bunch of Celtics people reach out to me just like, this kid with rebounding. I'm like, yep.
Well, yeah.
We yep. You know what, Metcalf? It's so early, but you could tell there's a good fit. You know when he get landed there, I was like, this one has a shot
yeah.
to be the perfect marriage. And especially early
how
on,
Stevens has kind of expressed how he wants to reorient how the team plays and yeah. having more emphasis on the rim.
I think it's just going to be one of those, like, they can make it simple. He's also, you probably haven't watched Celtics closely, but
I haven't gotten to him yet.
The Celtics fans will know what I'm saying. The funniest development I've ever seen. He's tried to like basically murder people with posters, and they haven't been close at all. And he's done it twice, and it's the funniest thing ever.
Oh, like a little Tijan Saloon action.
Yes, yes. Except this one's looking good. It's just funny. Like he's starting to look good. I still believe. Like I don't know if Maine would actually be good for him. I feel like they might need to be just like have him around, being working with him all year, and then maybe he's like in February giving you like, hey, we're on the road against New Orleans. Go play 20 minutes for us. One of those things. But I think Chris looks good for them. That's all I got. Go ahead.
Filon's been fun for the Sixers.
Yep.
And Malik Thomas has put up insane numbers. I haven't been able to dive into the nitty gritty, but it seems like he's been given the reins and he is running wild with them. Just putting up monster numbers.
He's just a bucket. You know, I'm never going to be worried about Malik scoring. He can score. Yeah. He can score with any of them. You just got to figure out what's option B for your game if the shot's not falling. That's what we always say. Like with bucket getters, what if the shot's not falling? What are you doing? And I think Malik's just been on a heater of, hey, I'm going to show everybody what I can do. And it's like, those are the fun guys at Summer League to watch. But yeah, he's been fantastic.
All right. I do want to wrap up just real. We're not going to dive in or slander these guys because it's Summer League.
Are we pivoting? Hold on. I got a couple more.
If you got more positives before I turn into
Zion Pullen.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Is he still two way with Minnesota? What are they doing? Gosh, he looks good. Watching him, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he's figured it out. Ooh, I liked him coming out of Florida, but it's like, oh, you figured out a lot in the last 2 years.
I was literally like, remember, what was it, like 4 or 5 years ago? Remember guys would be like, teams would be poaching him at Summer League? Yeah. They'd be like, we'll sign. I was like, go give him a contract. I was like, Brazil, fine. I'm just going to give him a shout out. Some Nuggets fans like us. Berenger. Gosh, and Mikael Brown. I think Mikael Brown's been awesome. I really do. So that's all I got to say. Okay, other side of the fence. Let's go. Negative Nancy.
Who has left you wanting a lot more? I'll phrase it that way. I was really underwhelmed with Nate Amen for the Bucks. It felt like so much of the same. Christian Anderson has kind of been a struggle too. So it'll be interesting to see what that point guard rotation for Charlotte looks like next year. We kind of knew that Kobe White was going to be starting, but this feels like it might be a little more of an aggressive pivot out of the LaMelo Ball era after their best year in a very long time than we anticipated. But at a bare minimum, Christian's an incredible shooter, and I think he has shown a little more ability to create for himself, get downhill, create for others, or at least a little more willingness to explore that stuff in Summer League, which is encouraging. So how quickly it gets to NBA ready, I'm fascinated to see.
I need one more positive I forgot to mention. Jace Richardson looks awesome.
Okay.
Last year, 25 class guys that have left me wanting more, I would say Hanson Yang.
Yeah, that was tough.
Was a big one I watched. I was like, obviously, Drake Powell.
I honestly haven't loved what I've seen from Cody Williams.
Cody was like a weird.
Like I know he's playing more physical and was more aggressive, and I love all that stuff. But then it's like you take a step back and actually look at like his shot attempts, and it's like, man, there are a lot of like 15-foot fadeaways here, and why are you not able to get to the rim ever? So
he looks so good in Salt Lake City, just been complete like whoa, okay, it's Cody, yeah. Casper is a little bit, like a little bit. Yeah. I just was like, after watching FIBA, I was like, whoa. And then now I'm like, but Burry's has looked so good. So it's okay. It's a lot of basketball he's been playing. He's been playing a lot of hoops.
I'm not panicking, but yeah. There were a handful of games where I was like, oh man, the first 95% of that play was incredible. And then that final 5%, I was like, what in the world? Whether it's a missed shot or turnover. He looked a little out of sorts. Keaton Wagler obviously had the brutal first game. Bounced back a little bit in the second game. Not worried about it. His whole thing has always been he's an awesome problem solver. I think he'll figure it out. But I also kind of didn't expect him to set the world on fire as a rookie.
I feel the same exact way about Darius Acuff.
Yeah.
Nothing he has shown me has surprised me. Maybe he shot two on fire last year. Like, he was just red hot that I was like, yeah, he's going to probably struggle a little bit shooting. Because it's also just you're not as open as on everything. And I'm not worried about any of the guards. They've all had their moments. Wagler will figure it out. He's too smart. And the fact that he figured it out in like one game, and I was like, oh, okay. And I've been disappointed with Swain a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he looks sirens like going off. Yep. It's the exact guy we saw at the combine. And it's my exact fear of the Texas player that we saw. And yes, it's summer league and overreact, but I'm also going, yeah, but they're not all of a sudden going to be like, you know what? Let's just give you the ball and let you do everything all the time.
Yeah, but like this was the hesitation that and concerns that we voiced all year, where it's like, all right, when he's not allowed to run the show and have that level of offensive creation, what does it look like? And so far, and you know, when that was the case at the combine, we're like, well, he was invisible out there. I kind of hated what we saw in that scrimmage, but one combine scrimmage, whatever. We're not going to overweight it. And now we're in summer league, and we're seeing the exact same thing. It's like, okay, well, it's summer league. We're not going to overweight it, but it'll be really curious to see how long it kind of takes him to adjust and figure out how to make an impact in that type of role.
I think I saw, before his most recent game, he hit three shots at summer league total, and they're all layups.
That's tough.
Little underwhelmed there. Someone I've been very pleased with the playmaking is Sergio De La Rea. Shout out Mavs fans. Cameron Carr looks exactly the way I'm expecting. I had another I'm a little underwhelmed from the rookie class.
I think Abuka Okoro's the last one for me.
Yeah.
I was hoping he would look a little better because all of the at-rim finishing issues I talked about in the season, popping back up. I like the playmaking. It's not like overly complex or anything, but he's walking paint touch and making decent reads out of those situations. So
I feel like with the underwhelmed part for the rookies, I'm really pulling teeth.
And
Christian Anderson probably, but
yeah,
I knew that one was going to take a while to kind of figure it out. Let me look back at the solvers. I had another one. I'm a boy, Noah Essengay. You know what? But I also was like thinking the other day, I was like, he should still be raw. He missed a year of physical, probably, development because he had a shoulder injury, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm still on the, you're probably waiting another year and you just need him to stay healthy for another year. But, I'm fine with that one. No, I was expecting.
Some lunges and, squats would have been nice during that time, though.
Yeah, that's the bigger part is,
We
gotta get some meat.
Like, he replaced game posterized by Furphy last year with Cam Boozer sealing him out to the 3-point line for about 20 seconds this year. That was
frustrating because I was also like, just throw him the ball. I had the basketball in me take over. I was like, why are you not throwing him the ball?
Yeah, that isn't that first game Boozer got the seal down in the restricted area and then just kind of effortlessly pushed him out to the 3-point line and then finally drew the foul. It's tough.
I feel there's an unwritten rule in the media section not to scream. And I feel like I just don't follow that at all. Throw the ball. I'm clapping. I'm acting like a fan. I'm like, I don't care. I'm a fan. Fan art. Anyone else? Anyone you're pleasantly surprised with? Shocked? Fun?
Kobe Sanders looked good.
He rocks. I love Kobe.
But, you know, he played a lot this year. So there's probably someone I'm forgetting. But remember, you know, before we started airing, I was like, oh, well, we'll do a quick recap in like 20 minutes and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I told you this never happens. Yeah. This never happens.
Anyone else for you? Or
you know, no, I just... No. I don't feel like we're hitting an off season anymore. I feel like we're just like, hey, it's just this is no ceilings now. I think we're just full throttle. Charlie's Angels, full throttle, Metcalf. What have you thought about AJ? Do we want to start this? Do we want to open the box?
Well, I'm assuming Wizards fans have all tuned out now because they assume that we're not talking about their guys anymore.
Yeah, so we can actually just
The scoring rocks.
The scoring rocks.
He's an elite scorer. He's an elite foul drawer. We knew this.
My question's in a positive way, by the way.
I wish we would have gotten a little more playmaking from him. I feel like we haven't really gotten any. It's summer league. I'm not too worried about it.
Probably the only...
Like, the defense was fine, but again, it's summer league, so it's really tough, like, unless a guy is, like, incredibly good or incredibly bad, it's tough to really notice it. Like, in that Jazz game, he wasn't
guarding. Did you hear his quote? Oh, you missed the quote, did you? Oh. Yeah. He basically admitted he was being lazy last year on defense.
Love that.
It's like, no shit.
It's like, what? No. You? No. What? No. Yeah, no.
I know you had an awesome time, Frank. I think the whole town knows. Like,
yeah, that drive me insane. I didn't learn anything with AJ this week.
The playmaking, like, I needed. It looked like old AJ.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. It's summer league. He's trying stuff out. But there was a couple times I was like, "Do we need that shot? Do you work on that shot? Have you ever?"
And he does.
What kind of shot is that? Patrick Ewing was just going in my head. He looks fine. The top four looked incredible. I can't believe this rookie class is going to rock so much. And the sophomores are going to be great. NBA's in good hands.
All right. Let's wrap up. We're just going to do a little starting five draft from our summer league performances. Why? Just because we ran half an hour over what we said we were going to do?
20 minutes was
great. That's not like us.
That was cute.
All right. I'm a gentleman. Go. I'll give you first pick.
I get first pick of anyone?
Yeah, and we're just basing this off of summer league. So not what we think they're going to do in the regular season, what we thought about them in the past, just what we've seen from them in summer league. Starting five.
Brayden Burry's at the one.
Okay.
Yeah. Taking Burry's first. I also just didn't know who I wanted to take of the top four, so I was like, I'll make Metcalf do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go positional value here because I don't think there's been a better center by any stretch of the imagination. In summer league, I'm going Kaman Malawach.
I almost did that too. I'm gonna go I'm gonna go Caleb Wilson at the four. I don't want to not take those other ones too.
I'm going to go Cam Boozer.
I don't know. Boozer looked just.
You're never getting a rebound.
Well, you took a center, so I don't need to take another one. I can wait. I'll take. Oh, gosh, this is tough. I actually like all of these guys.
There could be some names left off here that's going to feel gross.
I'm going to put Yegor at the two. I'm not going off of drafting an actual team. I'm going off of who's just stood out to me the most at summer league.
I'm going to go.
Because I wanted to pick Darren, and I was like, well, Darren's kind of been fine. And I feel like that's cheating.
Yeah, I kind of had the exact same thought process of like, oh, well, I'm going to put him at the two. I'm not going to have him running point, obviously, so the turnovers aren't an issue. Well, he had 8 turnovers in a game, so you can't really pass that up.
I'm trying to give some shine to the other guys too.
Exactly. That deserve it. I'm gonna go Cedric Howard.
That's a good one. I have Burries and Yegor. This jumbo size. Screw it. I'll go Will Riley at the 3.
Ooh, that's fun.
I don't want to take AJ. It just seems cheating when you take the number one pick. I feel like any list for Summer League can't be like the top two picks.
I'm going to go Kingston Flemings.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Man, his ball security and assist to turnover is bonkers.
What do I have? I have...
You have Braden Burries, Caleb Wilson, Yegor, Will Riley.
I'm just gigantic.
Without a center.
I'm going to take Berenger at the 5. I love what I saw from Berenger. Do you not?
No, I do. I thought he looked great.
Was he the second best looking center, probably? I know Anis just had a really nice, solid game.
Denia Broome?
Come on, man. Hannes? Come on, man.
You just said Hannes. Senek?
Oh, Senek looked good. I feel bad that I took Will Riley and Ugo. I would have taken Ugo. But I don't want to switch. I'm a man of tradition and respect.
I've really loved Dylan Cardwell's chaos.
Oh, shit. I love Dylan Cardwell. I might mess around and get, like, I need Kings fans listening. Like, if you listen to this, I need you to find me like a Dylan. I'm too old to wear jerseys. So like, give me a Dylan Cardwell. If you could find me a cool, I'll buy it. If you could find me like a cool custom fan shirt. Oh, I'll buy it. Right. I'm a big Dylan Cardwell guy.
Speaking of like one of the best shirts I saw all summer league, were these two guys who were wearing Neek at Night shirts. They were incredible.
You guys mentioned that in summer league. And I was like, wait, that it didn't, like, I blacked out when I heard that. Where I need to find those. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna put a tweet out and be like, we saw these shirts at Summer League. They were incredible. I need help. Neek at Night is like,
it's good. It's really, really good.
I might wear that just when I'm like watching film every night. Like, throw on the Neek at Night.
Also, the Mavs calling John Pulukitis Johnny Cash, just incredible. It's
probably one of my favorite texts I've gotten
back
in a long time.
To like having actually good nicknames again. God, I hope.
Well, so. I heard, no offense, but we pumped up Malawatch too much. Do you know what Malawatch's nickname is with Suns fans?
Oh, no.
Man?
No. No.
My buddy Neem, who's a diehard Suns fan, was like, Man's look good. And I was like, who the heck is that?
No.
And he goes, Malawatch. I was like, that's not good.
No.
My other buddy's a Warriors fan, goes, that's a terrible nickname.
Can I cut him? And...
Like, I'm like, no, that's Johnny Cash and Man are not in the same conversation.
No,
in terms of nicknames, Neek at Night is an unbelievable
that one rocks
shirt. Yeah, I need that shirt in 4 colors.
I'm gonna go Malik Thomas for my last one.
Yeah, we deserve it.
All right, so you ended up with Braden Burries, Caleb Wilson, Yegor Demon. Will Riley, Yoan Berenger. I had Kaman Malawach, Cam Boozer, Cedric Howard, Kingston Flemings, Malik Thomas.
It's fun teams. Kingston's playmaking has been pretty bad, like badass. I'm always trying to not swear, but that one let out for Kingston. If I go down swinging for Kingston Flemings,
there are obviously a lot of names that we left off there. I thought about Zion Polan at point, but, you know.
Yeah, Michael, Darren, all those guys, I feel like we're going to talk about them all during their rookie year. So I was just trying to get some more shot. I was going to do McNeely at the 3. The 2-3 actually was really competitive. I had McNeely, Ugo, Will Riley, Cedric Coward, obviously AJ, Malik. This is fun. I love us planning this one. We're like 40 minutes tops.
We knew it
still get to an hour. It's unbelievable. We have a problem.
It's a good problem to have. Can't wait to cover these guys all year. Can't wait to dive into the 2027 draft. any moment now, but we got really fun stuff all summer long. I promise we're not going anywhere. We're gonna have fun stuff, whether it's FIBA U17 recap. I finished my Team USA film, working on some of the international guys on that, but a lot of really fun talent there. We'll dive into that. We'll start previewing next year's class, conference previews, rookie previews, all that good stuff all summer. So make sure, do not go anywhere, because we will not be. Follow us on socials at No Ceilings, YouTube, No Ceilings, NoCeilingsNBA.com. Find all of our written work. We'll be back. Until then, he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Till next time, see ya.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.